All right, ready to chat?
Yeah, let's chat. What are we talking about today?
So, finally coming back to the third part of our divorce series.
Okay.
Just talking about how to seek support, things to be mindful of once a divorce has been finalized.
Yeah, I think it's important we finish out this series, so let's do it.
Welcome to the With Counseling Podcast. I'm JJ Blandford, founder and therapist at With Counseling. So as I have with the other two episodes, I just want to preface with I am a married person who has not walked through divorce and have walked this road with so many clients. And so, the goal is, even if this isn't your story, are there tidbits, things that you can learn about how you walk this journey with someone you care about? And so I think that's really important.
Yeah.
So today, in talking about after divorce, what I mean by that is finalized and beyond.
Okay. That makes sense. So the first episode, we kind of talked about maybe these roads, you know, where you're either moving towards health or, you know, moving towards making a decision like this. And then we talked about kind of in the middle, that liminal space that we talked about, you know, the waiting. And now we're to the end, everything's been finalized. And now what is kind of the question, right?
Yeah.
So how do you see the post paperwork time differing from kind of that middle space?
What I try to prep my clients for always is grief.
Okay.
Even if you believe you are thrilled
to
be ending this relationship, which may be true, that does not mean that grief won't show up.
So you can be happy about something and grieving it at the same time?
At the same time.
Oh, jeez, that sounds like a lot.
I know. We keep coming back to this, holding multiple emotions. But I think grief can surprise people if this is something they've been hopeful about, they've been looking forward to. Because once you, you know, have that final court date, you get your divorce decree, there is a finality to this journey. Mm. And again, if it has been months and years to get to the point to choose to file, and months and years of court proceedings, like, you could have committed a huge chunk of life.
Yeah.
And something about it being done can be really emotional for a lot of people.
Yeah. And so it can be probably a lot of things, even this kind of looking forward to this endpoint. And then when the endpoint gets there, it may not kind of feel like you thought it would, right?
Yes. I think that's a great point. I am really big on talking with my clients about how are we marking this moment? And that doesn't mean like you have to celebrate per se, but you have basically been running an emotional, mental, financial marathon.
Right.
And just to be like, well, that's done. You know, wash my hands of the whole thing. Feels weird. And so, not weird isn't the right word, just feels like, how are you taking time to mark the moment?
Yeah.
I was thinking it's monumental.
Yeah, right.
The moment that this is finalized, like taking a moment to reflect on what that relationship gave you, taught you, brought to your life. Acknowledging the journey that has been, you know, ending that relationship and like having a moment for yourself before you just jump into whatever you would like to be next, to just like sit in the gravity of the choice, even if it's something that you are glad has happened.
Right. How do you go about doing something like that?
I mean, I think sometimes journaling, how are you actually feeling? Like taking some time to be reflective and mindful about, you know, people are telling me I should feel all these ways.
Right.
How do I actually feel? How am I honoring how I actually feel? And what does moving forward look like for me?
The one thing I do know about grief from what we talked about last time is this is usually this kind of long sustained thing. So is it common, or have you seen it happen where like maybe there isn't as much grief like at the moment, but then you get like 6 months down the road, a year, then the grief starts sort of coming back. So this is like, there's no kind of set.
No. And the timeline. The grief usually pops up at unexpected times, as grief does.
Yeah.
So even think about maybe if you celebrated 20 birthdays with a partner,
yeah,
and their birthday shows up, you may feel a way. You, most people are thinking about our wedding anniversary and Valentine's Day, which are two pretty normal times to have some feelings about the end of a relationship. I think what has consistently come up with clients, again, I primarily work with women, but Mother's Day can be really tricky because, you know, if you are no longer partnered, who is taking your children to get the things to celebrate you for Mother's Day?
That's fair.
And so it is a milestone that now I've walked with enough people, you know, sometimes I can have some insight of like, hey, Mother's Day is coming up. How are you celebrating your, what are you planning for yourself? Even if you didn't necessarily like what your former partner planned for Mother's or Father's Day, whatever you've got going on, there was potentially someone doing something. And so that's a place of awareness. You know, your own birthday. How are you putting people around yourself, creating a celebration that is meaningful to you? And then, you know, the things of the random kid project that comes home about our family tree, you know, those are often places that it's like, oh gosh, I hadn't thought about how my kid's project about our family is going to look.
Yeah.
Now that, you know, we are divorced and living in two different residences.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So it's it could come at those times you just don't expect. I mean, yes. grief is like that, isn't it?
Grief is like that.
I think we'll get to this at the end of the episode because I want to ask this question again. But if you're walking with somebody through a divorce, like a friend, would the like is that a good place to step in for you? Like, kind of acknowledging, like, hey, this is your first Mother's Day. You know, being with the divorce finalized, is that a good time to kind of support where more support is needed?
Yes. I think that is such a great time to step in and to ask sometimes, like, you know, you're having your final court date or your divorce decree is coming on this day. Do you want to go out for a happy hour to celebrate? Can I take your kids? Do you need some time alone? Right. Like, again, and maybe this goes back to someone may not know what they need. Can you give a couple of choices? Do you want to go out to dinner together? Would you like me to take your kids? Which is going to feel better to you? I think also create all the ways that relationship shaped and impacted you until it has ended. Mm. You may not have had the emotional space to even begin to consider that.
Yeah.
So how are you doing your own work that if you choose to pursue a relationship again, you're the healthiest and most whole version of yourself?
Yeah, it feels like one of those things, and this happens to me from time to time, where I'm like, gosh, I'm not feeling like I want to be feeling or something. And then somebody's like, well, have you considered that you just dealt with this grief like a week ago? And you're like, oh my gosh. Yeah. You know, it's like there's these things that we can't, like, our brains are so fixated on what's kind of right in front of us that we don't think about like all of these things. And I imagine so much more in a marriage relationship that's lost, like that person for whatever, you know, was everything to you for a significant period of your life. And so there have to be these little places where you can't even, I guess, cognitively get around it yet without somebody sort of reflecting that back to you.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I think that is a really helpful piece. I also think it's finding community. And I think what can be really hard post-divorce is how the divorce shifted your community.
Yeah, your friend groups.
Yes. And, yeah. So did y'all have couple friends? Did you, you know, I've worked with people who like were at the same workplace and have to make the choice. We can't continue working together. Who's leaving? How do we make that choice? How do we, there's just so much to it. And so how are you finding the people that are going to give you the support and care that you need as a human? And how are you building and leaning into those relationships, I think is really important.
Yeah, that is tough. I mean, you're talking about building community at one of the hardest times there is to build community or sustain community, right? Yeah. Showing up to places, you know, church communities, you know, sports, like all of these places where you normally would kind of come across community, school for, with your kids are all places where like couples sort of tend to thrive. Cause that's what, you know, everybody's, the world's just not made for single people. It's not quite as easy for single people to get connected. Yeah.
I also think it's important to be looking for those opportunities, because I think what I would say is we have created a world that encourages coupledom. And most of us, if you show up to your kids' school event, band event, church thing, there are lots of single parents in our midst. And how are we as humans having eyes to see single people in the places that the expectation is couples?
Yeah.
And so I think, again, that is a great way to support. How are you continuing to include? And sometimes that's like to a school function, to a family dinner. Sometimes it's like, hey, we always vacationed as families. What is that going to look like now that your family has divorced?
Yeah.
Like, there are so many pieces. And so where can you be the friend that's like, let's have a conversation about what you need. Not forever. Yeah. What does this month hold? How can I support you this month? Mm. Versus like, how am I going to be your supportive friend for the rest of your life?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's lay out, like, look at the calendar. What do you need? You know, what are some of those like pain points, you know, that we can foresee and kind of support you? Yeah, that's good. That's good. And I think I'll add to this, just in general, not having expectations of people that are going through grief, right? Mm-hmm. That they need time to get whatever they need, you know, and there's no timetable, there's no nothing set, and just not having expectations of them. You should be here, you know, and journeying with them, you know, I think. I know.
I like didn't even know we were going to get to my soapbox yet. Here we are.
There we go.
Keep your opinions to yourself.
Oh, okay.
If you think something is too fast or too slow or too, like, if some, it, like, sit with yourself and say, are they making an unsafe choice? Or are they making a choice that is different than I would make? Mm. If it is different than you would make, especially if you have never walked through their personal, I mean, to be clear, you should never be making judgments about what other people are doing.
Yeah.
And if you have never walked this road, then giving them any sort of judgment based on how they are choosing to walk this out, keep that to yourself. Mm. That is how you can support.
I mean, I feel like the world might be a lot better if people had fewer opinions kind of in general.
Yeah,
and less access to the internet to give those opinions.
Yeah.
Although that is ironic. We are on the internet talking about this. But I think, yes, keeping your opinions to yourself. Like, I think that's a really good question because that can be difficult sometimes. But the questions are, is this something that is really going to hurt them, right? Or are they making something like a different choice than I would make or what I think I would make?
Right.
Yeah.
And like, you don't know. You don't know.
Yeah.
And different is not bad. And so I think sometimes we add to someone's struggle or we further ostracize because it's like, oh, I think Curry's making a terrible choice. Let me go find Sally who's going to agree with me. And we can kind of bash him instead of Curry's making a choice that feels out of character. He might need some extra support. How am I showing up for him in a way that's meaningful. And I think sometimes we can show up and keep our mouths closed, and that is okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's hard to do, though. I think we all get in those modes.
Yes.
Right? That's a good reminder.
Yeah, because we believe we are coming from a place of care and kindness, which is probably true.
Yeah.
And we need to give people space to make choices, to talk about how they're feeling versus, you know,
be told how to feel even.
Yeah.
Right. In some ways you're telling them how to feel, how to react. Mm-hmm. And you just can't know that.
Yep.
You can't know what they need. Wow. That's good. I think that's a great soapbox. Feels like a great place to end to me. Did you have anything else? Okay. Yeah. I just want to encourage you, if you have people who are going through any of these stages of divorce, encourage therapy. I know a great therapist you can come see if you live in the state of Texas. And also, I think journeying with is like a really good just moniker for walking through something like this.
Agreed. I hope you enjoyed today's episode talking about seeking support and offering support after divorce. I'd love to connect on social media, or you can find me at my website, counselingwith.com.